Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank and praise the Lord for another opportunity to stand before you today. I'm always humbled by the opportunity to be able to stand and share God's word with his people. I thank Pastor Steve and Pastor Judy and for this great ministry that God has placed in their life, Jesus Said Ministries, and for their faithfulness to the Lord to bring this ministry forth continuously for almost 15 years. It's always a pleasure to be able to do what God has called us to do. And I've been fighting with a lot of issues myself in my own personal life and in my family's life. But regardless of all of that, or regardless of all that's clouding our own personal minds and our own personal space, we have to make room for the Lord. And that's one of the problems in America now, is that this country has went back on God. And it's costing everybody in this nation now. I was looking at an article on the news, and they said that 20 million people now in the United States are living below poverty, and it says that that's the lowest rate since they've been keeping records. And 47 million people are on food stamps. The blessings of God is leaving America, and that's a sad time. My title today is, Do You Want to Go There? And let me bow and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for another glorious day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for each and every person here and each and every family that's represented. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you touch each and every heart. Lead and guide each and every person today, Heavenly Father. Allow them to hear what they need to hear and understand your word, Heavenly Father, as it goes forth. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you allow Reverend Sam to sit down, Heavenly Father, and let your Holy Spirit stand up in me. Let me not say one word too much or one word too little. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, in the book of Psalms, in the ninth chapter, verse 17, me and the evangelist was talking about that, and elder on the way here. It says, the chapter 9, verse 17, and the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. You know, we're seeing the crisis that's going on financially worldwide right now. And it's in the news very strong. And a lot of the people are now that were in the circumstances to be able to control a lot of countries and control a lot of economies worldwide are now in turmoil and wondering what they're going to do. And the reason they're wondering what they're going to do is because they're without God. And long as we are trying to solve problems in our own personal lives, each and every one of us, without God, we're going to have that kind of turmoil. And these nations are going to have that kind of turmoil, long as they're trying to do it without God. And my title, Do You Want to Go There?, is because where we really need to go is to get into a place where we really have Jesus in our hearts for real. God, we have to go there for real. This time and day and time is out for playing with God and pretending that we're just going to church on Sundays and then going home, business as usual. And we have a lot of people in the churches that are doing that. And what happens is, it shows a bad influence on those that aren't attending church. They look at them and say, well, you know, if that's all it is to it, or if that's all that's going on, then I don't need Jesus. I don't need to go if that's what it's about. But we got to make personal decisions in our lives that it's more to it than that. And not only that, You can't look at someone else and make that type of spiritual, personal decision. You can't look at the preacher and you see me out on the corner drinking, or you see me on drugs, or you see me whoremongering, and you make a decision that you don't want God in your life because you see me messing up. You should not make that kind of personal decision, that kind of spiritual decision, because not only does it affect you, it affects your children, it affects your family members, it affects people around you. And if I'm going to be out there doing the wrong thing, then all you can do is pray for me and hope I straighten up. But that doesn't mean that you let go of God's unchanging hand. That doesn't mean that you let go of the miracles and the blessings of God in your life because you see me screwing up and I'm wearing a title as a minister, or I'm a deacon in the church, or I'm on the board of directors of the church or something, and I'm supposed to be showing a better example, but I'm not. And because of that, we have a lot of people that are falling by the wayside because they're looking at man's example instead of God. We all got to keep our eyes on God and on God's unchanging hand. I left the church as a child on Grant Street years ago. Some of the examples that I saw was very poor. And I do mean, ministers smoking cigarettes, drinking, gambling, all the other things. One of the ministers going with the secretary. I was a child in sixth grade, so by the time I got to be a teenager, I left the church and stayed going for many, many years. And I was 40 years old before I came back to the Lord, and before I got off drugs and alcohol and all that kind of stuff. And that bad influence and me looking at that and saying, okay, if that's all it is to it, then I'm going to walk away and turn my back and go do my thing. And in the meantime, while I was doing my thing and on all those drugs and running from city to city and trying to find my own way of success, I got shot, drug overdoses, all kind of circumstances that I went through that did nothing but destruction in my own personal life, destruction in my family's life. All my biological children are deceased. And that comes from the head of household, the man, being out of place. And I'm certain that some of y'all know that and have experienced some of those same circumstances. And I don't know why I'm saying all of this. This is what I'm speaking is not even in my notes. I don't went a whole nother direction, but it must be meant for somebody in here. And so I'm gonna speak what God has put on my heart and try to get back to the notes later if he let me. But when you have that type of situation where you've allowed an evil influence to come into your life and dictate to you what you should do and what you should not do, then you're being led by Satan. And once you allow Satan to come in and take over, he's not going to lead you in a way that's going to be a blessing to your life, or a blessing to your family's life, or a blessing to your loved one's life, or any of that. And to give you an example, me and my wife, we were together. We knew each other as children, and then we grew up later on, and we had a child that passed at 8 years old, and we split up in states, in separate states for 17 years. And I promised never to come back to Akron, Ohio. Lived in Houston, Texas for 9.5 years, and she lived in South Carolina for 10 years, and we had no communication whatsoever. And so one day God brought us both back to Akron, put us both in apostolic ministry, and then put us both back together. And we've been married now 17 years. During that time, and she's not here, and sometimes she gets on me about giving her testimony, but she was poisoned with snake poisoning. All her body fluids released, and they zipped her up in a body bag and took her to the morgue and put the toe tag on her toe and everything. And God brought her back, filled her with the Holy Ghost. You know, and we sit down now and we talk about some of the stuff that we went through when we were in separate directions, doing our own thing, not God's thing, but doing our own thing, and all the situations that I went through that could have been avoided. I could have avoided all that circumstances. She could have avoided all those circumstances. All the pain and suffering and situations that I thought that I was in control when actually Satan was in control. And when you don't want to seek God for your life, that's who's in control. Because there's only two forces that are in control, and that's God and Satan. You know, when we look at the Jewish people, God gave them the Bible, gave them the task of putting the Bible together. And we have almost 40 writers over a 1,500-year period to write the Old Testament and the New Testament. And all of that matches up, and even all the prophecies in it matches up and comes out to the letter. And there's no way that anyone else could have done that but God. We look at in the book of Isaiah, when Isaiah was here 750 years before Christ, but yet he says that Israel will become a nation in one day. And in May 16th, 1948, Israel, they signed a treaty and it became a nation again after all them years. And Israel, the amazing thing about it is the Jewish people came back into their homeland speaking their language after being scattered for 2,000 years. No other nation on the face of the earth has ever done that. That was God doing that to put them together. And then when they put this book together and you look at the Hebrew language, it has no word for coincidence. You know, and I used to be in the coincidence thing. You know, that's just luck, bad luck or good luck or, you know, somebody. And when I used to gamble, I don't gamble anymore. But, you know, and you hit the number, well, that's good luck. God's not in the luck business. He ain't up in heaven rolling the dice to see which way things are going to go, or make some type of decision what's going to happen with your life. Because once you turn your life over to him, it's not a thing of chance. That's why when you look in the book of Joshua, when God told Joshua in the first chapter of the book of Joshua, and when he gave him the assignment to conquer the promised land, and he told him, he said, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And when Joshua lost that first battle to Ai, he tore his clothes and fell on the ground and threw dust on himself, because he knew that this was not a game of chance, that God was a sure thing. He knew that it was not a coincidence that he had gotten defeated. There was a reason he was defeated. And so when he sought out God, God told him to get up. Go and call all four tribes together and to speak to them. And when he called Judah forth and he called Achim's family out and found out that Achim had took the bare Babylonian ceremonial robe and hid it in his tent and hid some of their goblets and stuff in their tent. And that sin that he had committed, God hated that sin so bad that in the book of Joshua, God tells Joshua to bring all of his family, his children, and his cattle, stone them to death, and burn them. That's how bad God hated sin. You know, we are blessed today that he sent his son Jesus Christ, that he does not have that penalty of sin on us like that. Now, we wouldn't be here. This world wouldn't be here. He would have destroyed this world again like he did during the days of Noah. but grace and mercy are upon each and every one of us. And some of us take it for granted that, oh, everything's going to be all right. It's going my way. I'm working my hand. I'm working my thing, not realizing that it's God's grace and mercy that's in this world. And the circumstances that are prevailing, God is holding them back. I was telling a young man the other day that, you know, if Satan had his way, you could look at every horror movie that's ever been created and combine all of that together, and that does not even touch the surface of the hatred that Satan has for mankind or what he would want to do to us if God would not restrain him like he is. And so when we think that, oh, we got away with this or we got away with that or we did this and we did that and nothing happened to us or just a little bit happened to us, it's not us. It's God's grace and mercy that's in this world that's protecting us. Because if Satan had his way, no one on the face of this earth would still be here. He would have tormented us to the beyond any of our imagination and drug each and every one of us off to hell. It's God's grace and mercy that allows each and every one of us to still be here and all of mankind and humanity. And so when we look at those circumstances, we have to realize that we all need Jesus. And even though some of us think we can make it without him, you're not really making it without him. You may be making it because God is allowing you to survive, because the Bible says that the sun shines on the just as well as the unjust, and it rains on the just as well as the unjust, so which means some bad things will happen to good people and some good things will happen to bad people. But one thing for sure, that we know that Jesus is the answer to all of mankind's problems. All of humanity in this book that God has provided us with is answers to all the circumstances and the situations that's on planet Earth. But we refuse to adhere to God's plan, so we have all of the calamity that you see. I was looking at a book that one of the pastors wrote, and he was talking about how famine was coming on the face of the earth, and how in the United States there's been a absence of the honeybees, and this is taking place in about 25 states as far as from 1996 until now. Well, the bees pollinate about one-third of what we eat. So a lot of people don't realize that very soon, we're going to have a very serious food shortage, not only in America, but in some of the other countries. Famine in the Bible, throughout the entire Bible, famine is used to get man's attention when he doesn't want to turn to God. You see the famine in many of your areas of the Bible. Even when Joseph went to Egypt and a great famine came on the land, and then his brothers and them came and got food to feed their family. Well, famine was on the land to turn mankind's attention to God. Hard times turns man's attention toward God. You see where we got 2 million homes in foreclosures and 1.5 million underwater, headed for foreclosure. God is allowing judgment to come upon America because we have turned our backs on God. And we are going to have to come to grips with that sooner or later, because God is not going to allow us to keep doing our thing and leaving him out. A lot of us, including myself for many years, did my thing and left God out. Went through a lot of pain and suffering, a lot of testimonies that I have that I could have did without. You know, being shot, drug overdoses, laying up in a city hospital, strapped down, a whole long list of stuff that it could have been avoided in my life. All of my biological children deceased. All that kind of stuff could have been avoided. And I'm here today to say and share with each and every one of you that those of you that have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to think long and hard about that decision. You need to really think, do I want to continue to be outside the grace and the mercy and the love of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? We need to think that you really do need a Savior. You not only need a Savior for the world to come, but you need a Savior in this world. Because not only is He Lord in heaven, but He's also Lord in earth. The Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to Him. We have to make that decision that we're going to allow Him to be able to be in control of our life, to be Lord over everything in our lives. I've had the problem of turning a lot of things over to Him, a lot of things that I think I can still do. And I'm not talking about sinful things. I'm talking about just being in control. But we have to take everything to the Lord in prayer. And once we do that and allow Him to be Lord of our lives, we'll see a magnificent change, a great change in our lives. I'd like to read to you from the book, and in closing, I'd like to close with this verse. And it's John, the 15th chapter, verse 7. And it reads like this, and this is what John said. He said, "If ye abide in me, and my word in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciple. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love." And that's what God wants us to adhere to. He wants us to abide in His love. He wants to love us more. You know, He loves each and every one of us because we're all God's creation. But we don't all belong to Him until we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because Adam and Eve's mistake in the garden separated us from God. And that's why His Son died on the cross to give us the opportunity to be reconnected with God and to join and accept His Son as our Lord and Savior and be reconnected to God. And I'd just like to give the opportunity today, if there's anyone that needs prayer, if there's anyone that wants Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and to be the Lord of their life, we're asking you to come now. Would you come? Don't worry about what somebody else is thinking about or what someone else's feelings are about you coming. Make that decision for yourself. Make a life-changing decision. Bring God's grace and mercy into your life today and into your family members' lives today. We like to say, we thank you. We thank everyone for being here. We continue to pray for everyone that's here. And I'm going to say a quick prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, each and every one that's here, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue to touch each and every heart, each and every mind, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you give each and every one of us a mind to run after you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you bless us to be prayerful, Heavenly Father. Bless us to have the desire, Heavenly Father, to fulfill your will in our lives, Heavenly Father. Give us the understanding that we may have to surrender all to you, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.